Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Amen. What we know after Christmas. The text on the screen there says, The angels announced the coming of Christ. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. We discussed that last week. We're going to continue this week and explore what we know after Christmas. All right. Here's the first thing we know after Christmas. The first thing is this. Light always shines in your darkness. Say, light always shines in my darkness. Say it again. Light always shines in my darkness. In Matthew 14, 16, it reads, this is from Prophet Isaiah chapter 9. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who sat in the region, the shadow of death, light has dawned. And that was a prophecy of Jesus coming and what he would do. And interestingly, we know that it was the shepherds out in the field shepherding at night who saw the angel. So it's as if that scripture, that prophecy was both true in a spiritual sense, in an actual literal sense. They were literally in the dark when the angel came and then announced the coming of Jesus. So Luke chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 8 talks about that. I'll pick up the last part. When they were out in the field, and in verse 10, the angel said, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And then verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this is the start of what happened after Christmas, that God sent light. He sent a message of hope. He sent a message of goodwill. And that one angel was joined by a host. I found a video. I showed this some years ago. Let's watch it right now. It's a little illustration of what happened at the moment when the angel announced that Christ had been born.
On this same night, under the same starry sky, not too far away, there were shepherds taking care of their flock during the night watch. It was an ordinary night as the animals quietly grazed. But soon, this ordinary night was interrupted by glory. Something caught their attention. Suddenly, the shepherds realized they were no longer alone in this field that night. An angel stood before them. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel comforted them, saying, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Tonight a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. He is the Messiah, and he was born for you. The angel told the shepherds exactly where to find this baby boy, this gift of hope come to earth. He would be wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough in a nearby stable in the city of David. In the blink of an eye, the glorious multitude of the heavenly host appeared, surrounding those humble shepherds in glory. With their voices, they lifted up an angelic song of praise to God. And in that breathtaking moment, the heavens boldly proclaimed the glory of the one who not only knew the stars by name, but knew the names of those humble shepherds in the field. This quiet night turned into the most glorious of nights, and the shepherds hurried off to find the baby boy. They found him lying in a feeding trough, exactly as the angel had said. The shepherds couldn't keep this good news inside. They told everyone they met about the angel, the heavenly host, the young couple, and the precious Christ child. And all who heard it were amazed, just as we continue to be amazed as we remember this night, this moment, when hope was made known to us.
Light always shines in your darkness. Say, light always shines in my darkness. Say it again. Light always shines in my darkness. Next point here we make is that God keeps his promises. Say, God keeps his promises. And of course, the fact that all the prophecies of Jesus before, way before he was conceived and born, I mean, hundreds of years of prophetic words, and here he shows up right in the place, Bethlehem, where he was prophesied to be born. And just to show us that God keeps his promises. I mean, I forget the count. There's so many, a number of promises. Someone added them all up. There's a lot of promises in the Old Testament that point to Jesus. My point is, God kept everyone. And that's to show us after Christmas that God keeps his promises. Say, Lord, thank you. You keep your promises to me. Amen. Next point is that there is purpose, promise, and power in Jesus' name. Say, there is purpose, promise, and power in Jesus' name. So Matthew 1:21, again it says, and when she will bring forth a son, again a prophecy, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus literally means Jehovah or Yahweh is salvation. So that when you say Jesus' name, then you're reminding yourself and you're declaring that there is purpose, promise, and power in Jesus' name. Next, we see that every mention of his name declares that he came to deliver, save, and rescue you. Say that every mention of Jesus' name declares that he came to deliver, save, and rescue me. And Luke 2:21 says, on the eighth day, when he was to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived, right? So then the tradition was, and Jewish custom was, on the eighth day, the boy was circumcised, and they gave him his name on the eighth day. He wasn't called Jesus on the first day. He got his name on the eighth day, and they gave him the name that was assigned to him by the angel. And again, that name literally means, again, Jehovah is salvation, or Yahweh. And also, when you look at the definition of that name, it goes also into the fact that it means delivered, saved, rescued. I mean, Jesus' name literally means deliver, save, rescue. So you say Jesus, you're saying deliver, save, rescue. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, say Jesus, means deliver, save, rescue. Every time you say it, in praise and worship, in the prayer, pray over the food, in Jesus' name, right? Lord, bless this food, deliver it, save it, rescue, you know. When you're facing a medical procedure, amen, somebody? Lord, deliver me, save me, rescue me. You're going into a situation, you're going, hey, going back to work with folk. You don't believe in vaccination. You know, Lord, deliver, save, rescue me and them. Amen. It's good, isn't it? What we know after Christmas, okay? Next point, because of Jesus, we rise. Now, we know that the time came when they took Jesus again to the temple on the eighth day. And just so happened that, well, by the grace of God, not so happened, by the order and plan of God, a man named Simeon was in there who had been waiting. God said, you won't die until you see the Savior. And they brought Jesus in for his circumcision and so forth, dedication. And so Luke 2:34 says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign to be spoken, and a sign that will be spoken against. Okay? So Jesus, his coming, the purpose of his coming, he said, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. Well, I'm just going to say here, because of him, we rise. He don't cause us to fall, amen. He calls us to rise. Those who trust him, rise. So then we know after Christmas that Jesus causes us to rise. Say, Lord, thank you. You caused me to rise. Next, we come to The next point here, wisdom is not only for the old, but for the young. Say that. Wisdom is not only for the old, but the young. Amen. Now, we now come up, some years later, and the Bible says, though, well, 2 years later, the Bible says, and the child grew and became strong. The child grew. The child was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Talk about the child. Now, we have to stop confessing that children, they got issues now. That's the real deal. But also, with their issues, there's wisdom, especially children born to godly people. There's wisdom in them. Put a demand on it. Call for it. Expect it. Don't expect children to all be foolish and silly all the time. Expect them to show some wisdom, amen, as part of God's purpose for them. So God not only gives us wisdom as older people, we expect it from us. Even children should have wisdom. Next point, God protects you from destroyers of life and purpose. Lord, thank you for protecting me from destroyers of life and purpose. Now, we know that 2 years later, when the wise men came to see Jesus, that was 2 years later. Y'all. It wasn't when he was born. It came 2 years later to the Magi came, following the sign of the star. And when they came to find Jesus and inquired of Herod of where he was, that's the wrong person to ask. Herod's like, well, I want to know where he is too. But Herod's motivation was he was threatened by the fact that Christ was called king, right? And was destined to rule, and Herod wanted to kill him. And so the Magi found Jesus, but they misdirected Herod and his forces away. And then the word came to Mary and Joseph, go to Egypt. They took Jesus to Egypt to keep him safe because Herod issued a decree to kill the boys under certain age, 5 years of age. So it was a terrible thing. But then God protected Jesus from the destroyers of life and purpose. And listen, God protects you. There are destroyers out here. COVID is one of them, by the way. You know what I'm saying? And so that God protects you from destroyers of life and purpose. Amen to that. And the final point, intergenerational learning and growing is God's plan. Say intergenerational learning and growing is God's plan. Luke 2:46, this is now, Jesus is 12 years old now. We can jump way ahead. He's 12 years old. They found him in the temple. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. 12-year-old among grown men of all ages, listening and engaging and asking questions. Verse 49, they asked him why. Well, they asked him, Jesus, where are you? Where were you? We're trying to find you. Where were you, Jesus? He said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? 12-year-old. So, well, Pastor, he was Jesus. He was a 12-year-old, y'all, with God in him. We still got 12 years old with God in them. We can still have 12-year-olds, teenagers, with God in them. We should expect that. Amen. Not write them off to do silly stuff until they turn, whatever, 18, 19. But do you not know about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. His parents didn't understand it. So we see the divine purpose in Christ. We understand. But listen, I always believe, that's why I always embrace young people. I've taught and trained young people over the years, still do it. But I believe that I have a lot to give and learn. Amen. And it's, I think, one thing I grieve over is that we don't have that going on. Young people tend to want old people to stay out the way, get out of my face, whatever, go away. You know, they expire. You expired, put expiration on you, go over there. But when I grew up, I gravitated to older people. I mean, all the things I do now, I learned from older people. I gleaned from them. And so we want to have intergenerational learning, school education, high schools and colleges, young people, older people. That's where it happens. It should happen in the church. It should happen in life. Intergenerational learning and growing is God's plan. So Jesus showed us that. So again, we learn these things, we know these things after Christmas. There's a lot more. I'm going to stop right there. But I want you to be encouraged that Christmas was yesterday, but we are still celebrating and living in the benefits of the Savior who was born, who lived, died, buried, and rose again. Amen? Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.